This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
4 o'clock hour, live at the Amerant Bank Arena. Is that Cena's music?
Maybe not for long, though.
Oh, really?
I can't imagine he's going to come out as a bad guy to the song that people have been cheering him to for 20 years.
Oh, interesting. Here are some more texts from the conversation we just had in the last segment. I love this segment. Somebody else texts in, wrestling is the male version of General Hospital.
Fair.
Somebody says, please go back to trading Tyreek Hill. Somebody says, I am enjoying this conversation. And someone else says, Appel, picture this. Cena wins the belt at WrestleMania and sets up a farewell match with CM Punk.
Can't really see him, but I'm getting goosebumps just thinking.
Now, who is this? This
you
CM
know who
Punk.
CM Punk is.
I don't.
Of course you do.
Well, I don't.
Because when he returned, you sent me the clip of it, same like last night. You're like, oh, this is a big deal, right?
Well, right, because I didn't know that it was a big deal. I didn't know who he was.
So CM Punk had this massive falling out with WWE back in like 2014.
Oh, I remember now.
Yeah, the whole big lawsuit and everything, and then he returned last year. They had a great, him and Cena had a great moment during the Elimination Chamber, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are live at the Amerant Bank Arena, courtesy of Celsius Essential Energy Drinks. Hockey fans, don't sit this one out. When it's game time, make Celsius a part of your play and get that energy up. Game day is fueled by Celsius, the official energy drink of the Florida Panthers, which is, by the way, your road to a repeat update, courtesy of our friends at Celsius. Tonight, it's the Lightning, 7 p.m. puck drop. Thursday night, the Blue Jackets are in town. That's a 7 p.m. puck drop. Saturday, the Buffalo Sabres visit. That's a 6 p.m. puck drop. And then the Panthers hit the road for a long six-game road trip. So your last chance to see him before the end of March is this Saturday of tonight, Thursday, and Saturday.
Feels insane. How are we in
that
March?
We're already at the end of we're doing the season. How many games left do they have?
24, something like that. Let me look it up.
That is wild, right?
Yeah. This season has flown by. I feel like I was just here for the banner raising.
Has this season been
21 games left
on par with what was expected?
Yeah.
Or below expectations or above expectations?
I think they've just about met expectations, battling to win the division again and in a prime spot to repeat. It's gone about as I've expected it to.
All right. Because it seems, Crowder and I have talked about this a number of times, where it seems like there's been stumbles in what's happening. But sure. Every time you look at the standings, they're exactly where they need to be.
It's a long, long season. You're going to have some ruts. Some new guys to work in, especially in the first half of the year. And once those guys got comfortable here, and especially the guys, you know, replacing Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Brandon Montour, once those guys started to, you know, settle more into their roles, it started to click a bit. They're rolling. Like, they just
are they done making moves? People have been
With the money freed up with Tkachuk going on long term IR.
What does that mean, by the way? He's on long-term IR, so when is he eligible to come off that?
He is eligible to come off right after the season, pretty much.
So we're not going to see him again for the regular season?
He can be activated off of it, but then if they make another move that would put them over the cap with his money factored in, then they'd have to do something else.
But if they wait till the regular season is over,
start the playoffs, they're good to go.
They're good to go.
Again, Vegas beat the Panthers in 5 games in the Stanley Cup, playing $20 million pretty much over the salary cap.
So this is it's an orchestrated maneuver.
Yeah, I mean, he is hurt.
Oh, there's no question that he's hurt. I mean, he didn't even play in the third period of the Four Nations. Like, that's not. I mean, you talk about, you know, a team playing chess, not checkers. Like, he's not sitting out that game if he's not legit hurt.
Part of me thinks that if the Panthers were really grinding it out for, like, the final playoff spot for whatever reason, and Tkachuk could come back with a couple of games left or, like, the final week of the season, he probably could. But they're not in this situation. I'm sure Randy could speak to that situation a little more than I can. But, again, he's played a lot of hockey. You know, if you can make sure he's 100% healed up by the time the playoffs start, why would you even risk bringing him back early? And it gives you, again, the flexibility to add another depth forward maybe instead.
Give you a little 15 minutes of heat before we get headlines with Dan Day. That's sponsored by Hollywood Kia. At Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida, get the star treatment. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia, online at HollywoodKia.com. So the heat tonight, I told you last night, I live bet the Knicks plus 10.5 in the third quarter. Knicks were down like 17 or 18 points, and I live bet them plus 10.5. They went on to win outright. Tonight, the Heat are 7.5-point favorites over the Wizards. And let me just look at some of the player props here. Tyler Hero, over-under tonight, 26.5. We know Khalil Ware, by the way, not playing tonight. He's out. Bam, over-under tonight, 20.5. Andrew Wiggins, 20.5. Duncan Robinson, 12.5. Davion Mitchell, 9.5. Have you been following at all? I've been fascinated with Golden State and Jimmy Butler and how well they're doing and how well he's doing, aside from the one night that,
nailed you and he's out like 1 of 38 from the floor.
I bet Jimmy Butler, he was over 18.5, I believe, and he had been lighting it up, and Golden State won that game. He shot 1 of 7.
And Steph had like 74 points.
He had 56 points. He had 56 points. Yeah. Jimmy Butler tonight, 17.5 is his over-under. They're in Charlotte tonight.
I will not put any more of my hard-earned currency on that man for the rest of the season.
But if I bet the over tonight, you might tail me?
Maybe.
Let's see what else is going on tonight. I'm also fascinated. You know, the Mavericks tonight, they're 2-point dogs at home. I think I just saw a push notification. Yeah, the Mavericks are increasing season ticket prices for next season by more than 8%.
Are they, like, I saw a couple people
trolling. They're trolling Dallas. They want to move.
They're almost major leaguing it without, like, putting the worst possible product on the floor. They're still a good team when healthy. But this feels so openly antagonistic towards that fan base. Obviously starting with the trade, but then kicking people out of the arena that are chanting or wearing his jersey or holding up signs, and now you're going to raise season ticket prices? Oh!
It says the Mavericks are increasing season ticket prices. The team announced Monday, revealing that prices will go up by an average of 8.61% next season. I mean, that's insane. Coming off that trade, where they are absolute losers on that trade. As good as Anthony Davis is, he's not going to play this season. Right? Is he out for the season?
I don't know if he's out for the season, but he's out for next.
They are losers of that trade. The public sentiment is that you're a loser. Luka is going to make any. Luka's 25 years old.
Is it one of, like, across the 4 or 5 major sports? Is it like the single most unpopular trade?
So not worst trade, but unpopular.
Because you can make the argument that they are still a good team.
And you have to wait and see, too. Yeah. If it doesn't translate to anything in L.A., whether it's while LeBron is there or not while he's there, because obviously we Marlins fans, we know the Miguel Cabrera trade as far as worst trades go.
Yeah.
But you're saying unpopular trades. That's interesting.
Is like,
because I can't recall one.
Is it like Wayne Gretzky getting traded back in the day? Is that up there?
That has to be up there, right?
Yeah. I I struggle to think of, at least in my lifetime, fans, of course, have been upset at trades that were made.
Well, we were upset by the Jonathan Huberdeau trade. Well, I mean, listen. Yes, you were.
No, I wasn't.
Absolutely.
No, I was not.
Yes, you were.
No.
I'll go back and look at the tweets.
Please do, because I was very much in favor of it.
Well, 99.5% of Panthers fans were upset at the Huberdeau trade.
Yeah, well, maybe not that much, but there were people upset about it.
He was Mr. Panthers.
Yes. Chris Whittingham was very upset about it.
It still is.
Holds the grudge.
He holds the grudge. But yeah, I think there's been a lot of unpopular trades, but I'm
like to
thinking
this
about
degree?
To this degree where
and then you build on that by throwing your fans who are voicing their opinions at games out of the games, the season ticket increase.
Well, and you had the Luka Dallas matchup the other night where
right.
Luka goes off.
And they're like doing such clear damage control by feet. Oh, he was unhealthy, he was at the hookah bar, he was doing like the guy took it to the finals last year.
Yeah, the guy had you in the NBA finals. But again, Jonathan Huberdeau, did they trade him after the President's Trophy season?
Yes, after they got swept by Tampa.
Yeah. I mean, that was ballsy. That was a ballsy trade.
Yeah, of course it was.
But I'm guessing that's what's his name, Nico Harrison, looks at and says, well, this.
I love the idea of Nico Harrison going, oh, Bill Zito.
Well, just saying, if you're going to try to justify to a group why a seismic trade that no one's expecting makes sense, you can point to that Huberto Kachuk trade as one of those and say, look, this is an unpopular trade. This is a trade that's gutsy because if it doesn't work, it is really easy to vilify us for making it. But if it does work, look at what happened to the Panthers.
But I think the difference is the Panthers are getting the Luka of that trade.
No, I get it. Well, I'm not making an analogy between the two.
The principle, I guess, of what you're saying.
I'm just swinging for the fences on something that isn't visibly popular.
But I would say the other difference, though, is that a trade like the Panthers made, that was an off-season trade. This was middle of the season they're doing this. Totally upending everything. I don't know. It's hard for me to think of one that's more unpopular, like across the board. Like,
certainly in recent memory,
but even like nationally,
especially with the player, the star didn't want to go anywhere. You know what I mean? It's one thing if somebody's noticeably unhappy. Anyway, Heat tonight. You will hear the game here on 560 WQAM. Panthers tonight will be on 790 AM. Let's get headlines with Dan Day, brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
Long-term injured reserve comes with a minimum of 10 missed games and 24 days of action, which could be retroacted from when Kachuk first set out.
Interesting. Okay. All right, so there's a little more clarity on that. And he has been placed on long-term IR.
Yeah.
Tonight, though, the Cats, they do face Lightning 7 o'clock. You guys are already there.
It's Sergei Bobrovsky in net tonight, I guess. Yeah,
Bob is playing tonight, and Spencer Knight is making his debut already for the Blackhawks tonight. Yeah,
and we'll see Seth Jones tonight making his debut for the Cats.
Yep, Spencer Knight, the Blackhawks kind of left it up to Spencer about whether or not he wanted to play tonight. He was like, yep, put me in there. I want to do it. Let's go.
All right, very cool.
I'll be rooting for him.
Oh, yeah, I'm rooting for him. Yeah.
In spring training baseball, the Astros came back and won against our very own Marlins 5-3 earlier today.
Oh, we're trying to set up a live broadcast at Roger Dean Stadium for this news to tree. We're trying to set up a live broadcast
His
at
face.
Roger Dean Stadium for a little spring training action.
Speaking of baseball, Canes baseball team will face FIU at Lone Depot Park tomorrow, 6:30.
That's a big deal because the last time the Canes played at Lone Depot Park against FIU, you remember they lost that football game.
Mm-hmm.
So this is kind of a payback or something. But is that it's not going to sell out, but is it going to be packed or?
I would say there's going to be a good crowd, but it's probably going to not look as good.
Right. Whenever you have that many seats, unless it's packed, it looks empty.
And there's just not really a lot of juice with Miami baseball right now. They got a nice win on Sunday.
But why do you think they're doing this?
Kind of boost the profile a little bit of that game, and it's an opportunity for those guys and those programs to play at Lone Depot Park.
All right.
It is an FIU home game, so maybe they're kind of reliving it and everything like that. I don't know.
Billy Gill on the call?
I sure hope so.
All right.
We haven't talked about this today, but 49ers are going to trade Deebo Samuel to the Commanders for a fifth-round pick.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think if you're the Commanders, that's a no-brainer. You give him a fifth-round pick.
Oh, my God. Get more weapons for Jaden Daniels.
And even
why
if
not?
Deebo gives you maybe a couple of good, healthy seasons, I think it's still worth the risk. That had run its course in San Francisco.
Yep.
And so good for Washington for getting Jaden Daniels another weapon. I don't know how – I think it's not quite to this degree, but I think Debo's lost a little bit. He didn't have a great year this year, obviously. He dealt with some health issues, too, that wasn't just related to injury. But if he's healthy, that's a great move for Washington.
Oh, Silver Airways abruptly cancels all flights at Orlando International Airport after filing for bankruptcy.
They filed for bankruptcy a second time?
No, but apparently they're no longer flying out of Orlando.
Is that Chris Cody's slow report reporting?
That's the New York Post. Because they were flying being in bankruptcy,
yeah.
But apparently no longer out of Orlando.
I had a friend flying Silver Airlines doing the same trip back from Tampa a couple of weeks ago and ended up renting a car because they delayed his flight back by like 5.5 hours.
Josh Appel famously, just a few weeks ago, flew from Miami to Tampa.
It's March 3rd.
It was really...
It was the second to last football game of the season.
Really Fort Lauderdale to Tampa.
3 months ago.
Flew from Tampa to Fort Lauderdale to save no time and actually waste time.
Well, the flight there was saving time. Flight back, no.
I don't know.
Squeeze
not worth the juice, maybe.
It's not. It was ridiculous. The fact that he refuses still to admit that it was a tactical error, even if the company was paying for you to fly, which they were, you didn't want to drive, so you flew, but it's such a pain in the ass to get to Fort Lauderdale International Airport, then to get to Tampa International. I don't understand the logic behind it. And to
you
do it on
like
Silver that. Air.
Well, like, again... What happened there was I was booked on United to go to Cleveland for Dolphins-Browns, and Silver was one of the options when I changed my flight.
Because you were taken off that game, you were put on the Buccaneers game.
Put on the Buccaneers game, so I just shifted the flight credit over to that one, and we all saw how that turned out.
Yeah.
Lionel Messi did not play yesterday for Inter Miami, but it didn't matter. They beat the Houston Dynamo 4-1.
Oh, you know, someone just texted in. The Savannah Bananas were at Lone Depot Park.
Yeah, the last 2 days.
Oh, 2 days?
Yeah.
Because someone texted in, I've never seen more people at Lone Depot Park than for the Savannah Bananas.
That's where they go, though.
I mean, yeah. My wife has wanted to see them for a long time, and we could never get tickets. And now we've lost interest. And I wonder if other people are losing interest in the Savannah Bananas. I wonder if there's staying power with that.
I'm sure there are. I mean, it's still selling out these ballparks, but I'm not certain I have much interest in going.
Jimmy, did you go?
I did not.
You've seen them before, though.
Yes, in West Palm.
Yeah. Would you see them again?
Yes, I would see them again.
All right.
I mean, the Harlem Globetrotters have remained popular.
Well, that's funny. So I was thinking, when I read the story about them potentially losing some interest with the public, I'm like, how have the Globetrotters... Now, the Globetrotters, when I was a kid in the 70s, it was the biggest deal in the world, the 80s. Then they went through some really lean times where they weren't drawing 800, 900 people. And they have some popularity, but not... I mean, used to watch them on national TV back in the day. That was like a big... Wide World of Sports.
Yeah,
like,
I've seen them there once.
Was a very big deal when I was growing up. And I took DJ to one Harlem Globetrotters game. I think it was at the AAA. I think that's what it was called back then. But also, it's very similar. I think the circus, the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, was so popular when I was a kid. And when David was growing up, they came, I don't know if it was here or down in Miami, and I took them. It was terrible. It was absolutely
terrible.
The elephant
didn't do it for you.
It was just, you know, there was no internet back in the day when I was a kid. So the stuff you were seeing, the motorcycle driving through the moving, you know, metal ball that's rotating, you'd never seen anything. Well, now you see, you know, people jumping off airplanes onto other airplanes. Like
Tom Cruise?
Yeah. I mean, it just falls flat. So I don't know if that's what's happened to the Globetrotters. The banana is certainly something novel and unique. I just wonder if it has staying power.
I wonder if, like, the personalities would need to, like, rotate a bit. I don't know how you keep that fresh? Because I'm starting to see, like, there were a couple of clips that popped up on social media over the last week or two that didn't get a great reception from folks. It's just like, what? Like,
people, we're done.
What are we doing here?
Yeah. Dr. Chuck, by the way, texts me. He wants to know if you're going from the backyard to the front yard if you do it via your car.
Think about it.
All right. Anything else, Dan?
I will say in the 80s, though, like, that was your birthday present was Harlem Globetrotter tickets.
Oh, my God.
It didn't even matter if it was 8 months away. They'd be like, guess what we got?
Yep.
Did they ever do, like, a John Cena heel turn after 20 years where, like, the Generals actually, like, won? Has that ever happened?
Well, the Generals were leading in late in the fourth quarter the other night. Generals have won, like, two times in the last however many years. I wonder if they won the other night. Because I happened to see it. I sent, by the way, Randy Moeller a text reminder, you're coming on at 4:30 today, and he responded with buzz off, which is a great Moeller term. When's the last time you've told someone to buzz off?
Never, I don't think.
That's right. Buzz off.
On to weather from the Demesman and Dober Law Firm.
Buzz off is a great term. Stu Gotts and I used to do a segment called Buzz Off when we were doing two-a-days.
Was that a Nature Beat thing, or was that just a...
No, it was kind of the precursor to... What did we used to call it? Oh, it was the precursor to something. I forget.
Because the games were already a thing. Like, I got to tell you.
I don't know. Yeah, it must have been. Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yeah. It must have been. But we used to do a segment called Buzz Off. Great segment.
Weather is 75, sunny, clear, perfect weather to buzz off.
If Randy Moeller shows up in the next segment, we'll talk some hockey with him. We're at the Amerant Bank Arena.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Britney Spears and her husband have separated.
You seen those videos lately?
Can't stop watching them.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, back live at the Amerant Bank Arena. I told you, maybe Moeller would be here, maybe not. Told me to buzz off, which is a great term. Nobody uses buzz off anymore. That's a good term.
Well, when you're in the broadcast business, it's better than the other term.
That's so true.
Fair. No, it's a fair point. Yeah, it's a fair point. Moeller is with us, television analyst for your Florida Panthers on Scripps Sports. You can watch them tonight. As Moeller has been known to say, tonight will be a wang dang doodle.
Yes.
Josh, you look stumped by that.
Seth Jones debut and it's a wing-dang dongle?
No. A wang-dang doodle.
Close.
Panthers and Lightning tonight. Let's talk about the trade, first of all.
Yeah.
Your overall thoughts on the trade. You're giving up Spencer Knight, who you thought was your goalie of the future.
Yeah.
Bringing in Seth Jones. What's your overall take on it?
You know what? Yeah, we could sit here for 30 minutes, Hawk, and analyze this thing. It's more than just a one-for-one trade or whatever that was involved in it. There's other parts going into it. The way I look at it is when you have an opportunity to get a top four right-handed, big, tough shooting defenseman, they don't fall out of trees. There's not many of them. That's why Aaron Ekblad went first overall. A big, strong, right-handed shooting defenseman. That's the reason why I went 11th overall. I should have been in the second round when I got drafted, 11th overall, because I was right-handed, tall, physical, right-handed shooting defenseman. So that really fills a need. And the other thing too is when you get an opportunity to get a player like this, you do everything you can. Did the Panthers give up too much? That's to be said. I mean, who knows? We're not gonna be able to analyze that right now. They valued Spencer Knight very, very much. He's a very talented goaltender, and I hope he does very well in Chicago and in his career. But the window for the Florida Panthers with Barkov and Tkachuk and Bennett and Reinhardt and Ekblad and Sergei Bobrovsky and that is not 6, 7, 8 years. The window is a lot shorter than that, a lot smaller than that. And they just feel they just couldn't pass up on a player like this. And I don't know if you guys got a chance to see the snippets of his press conference this morning, but he's a very mature man. He's, 10 years. He's as old as Barkov and drafted the same year and that. He knows the type of player he is. He knows what he can bring. He knows what his role will be with this team. He said all the right things this morning, and he is so excited to be here. And wait till you see the size of him. He's 6'5". I mean, he's just a mountain of a man that can skate. It's going to take a little bit, as Paul Maurice said, to adjust to the Panthers' style, which is, you know, go like hell. And that he's used to having to play a lot of minutes for a team, respectfully, not very good, that's not going anywhere. And he was just trying to survive. Now he can fit into a system where he can pinch and he can go and rush with the puck when he has a chance or whatever, keep shift shorts, because he knows there's other players and he's got so much talent around him, he doesn't have to do anything. And he said that this morning. He says, look at our lineup. I mean, we got so many superstars.
I mean, he has to be thrilled. Oh, I didn't see the press conference, but he has to be thrilled from there to here.
Yeah, absolutely thrilled. And that, again, you know, he's played over, 800 games or whatever in that. So he's got a lot of experience. He's happy to be here, and I'm thrilled to have him. I didn't think that there would be a chance to get him. And that when he kind of mentioned last week, Seth Jones, his frustration with the Blackhawks and they're not progressing and that kind of stuff. So he kind of knew that maybe the end was going to be near. And I thought, boy, he'd fit in with the Florida Panthers, but you never know. I'm just happy they got him. He's healthy. He's happy. I think he'll be very productive.
They had him with Nico Mikkola this morning, mm-hmm. and it seems like that's the pairing they're going to start him out with. I love those two together. Mm-hmm. Nico has been an unbelievable player for the Panthers the last couple of seasons. How do you think those two are going to mesh together? Two huge bodies.
Yeah, there's over 13 feet and about 500 pounds.
Like me and a Pell.
That's it. I mentioned, there's going to be a little bit of adjustment because the Panther system, I'm not going to get into a lot of the details of it, is kind of unique. And they're going to be patient with Seth. And we've got over 20 games before the playoffs and that. So he can kind of emerge himself into what the Panther system is. And that is aggressiveness. That is quick. It's in your face. It's physical. And borderline vicious, and for some players it takes a little bit of an adjustment, but I think he's going to pick it up very quickly.
We were saying earlier too, I was reading a tweet from Josh yesterday after it happened, and then Will Manso said the same thing, which is essentially, hey, Bill Zito, whether you look at the trade first and go, wait a second, you're giving up Spencer Knight, Bill Zito has earned your respect as a Panthers fan to say, you know what? We trust in whatever your vision is. Like, I may have a question about giving up a Spencer Knight, but ultimately, with the success Bill Zito has had,
correct,
I've got to trust in his vision.
Absolutely, the history. I mean, you look back. I was thinking about it today, driving back from the morning skate in the press conference, and that you look at over the history and just the short history since Bill Zito's been here and acquiring these players and that how. Players that have come, I mean, Sam Reinhart was in Buffalo, and, you know, Matthew Tkachuk, and well, the perfect example was Sam Bennett playing third, fourth line, you know, playing maybe 9-10 minutes a night and that, and just needed something to resurrect their career, get a fresh start and that. And that's where the scouting and the evaluation comes in, and Bill Zito and his staff saying, hey, guys, let's watch this player. We think he's a diamond in the rough. And there's a reason why Seth Jones was drafted very high and that. Yet, I mean, the teams that he was playing for the last number of years, whatever, have just not had the success. And it is tough. It doesn't matter what you do, and you can put the Superman cape on and that. I think going forward, he is going to fit in. He knows he doesn't have to be Superman here. We've got so many talented players, both forwards, defense, and then he mentioned, too, such a big fan, and he played with Sergei Bobrovsky in Columbus and that, too. So he's familiar with the whole situation here. He's played against the Panthers. He watched every game in the playoffs and, of course, the Stanley Cup Finals and everything. So he knows what he's getting into. He's a very mature man, very well-spoken in that, and very focused on what he wants to accomplish with this team.
I remember when the Panthers drafted Alexander Barkov, the reaction to it was, how could the Panthers pass up on Seth
Correct.
Jones? Well, now they've got Barkov and Seth Jones from that draft, and obviously we always talk about Ekblad, Reinhart, and Bennett from that draft being together. It's mind-blowing that all those guys are now here all these years later.
Yeah.
And every time a player says, hey, Florida's a place that I want to go, I think Joe Thornton in this era was like the first guy that's like, yeah, I'm going to go there because I think I can win.
Correct.
Still hearing guys say, Florida's the place I want to go. Does it still like give you a feeling of like, wow, I cannot believe how far this organization has come?
Yes, yes. And Hawk knows, and so Jimmy Tree Crawford that is sitting here as well. We went through some lean years here.
Yeah.
And it was almost the players that we did acquire was almost like a retirement plan. Well, I'll go to Florida and finish my last couple of years and, you know, and that kind of stuff. No more. No more. This has become a destination. And it's not just the palm trees and it's not da-da-da-da-da. Players, when you get to a level of professionalism with these players, and they, and especially if they played a number of years, and a perfect example is Seth Jones. He wants to win. He's never won. He wants to win, and he feels that's why he's so excited to be with the Panthers, because they have a legitimate chance of going back to the Stanley Cup Finals for the third consecutive year.
I wonder, because this is a long-term move for the Panthers as well. Seth Jones got a number of years left on his deal.
Yeah.
How do you think this affects moving forward what the Panthers do with Aaron Ekblad, what they're able to do with Sam Bennett as far as keeping those guys after this season? Because there was a reaction that I saw. A lot of people were like, huh, well, does this mean Aaron Ekblad might have some issues re-signing? They have a lot of space. How do you kind of see this all shaping out?
Well, I've been asked this question about 67 times.
I'm sorry.
And I've got, I got the same answer. I don't know. I'm not going to speculate. I know that the Florida Panthers are very high on Bennett and Ekblad. They're a big part of the culture of this team. And I also know that Sam Bennett and Aaron Ekblad love playing here. So that's the big picture for me. And like we just, Hawk, you just said, don't doubt Bill Zito and, yeah, and the Florida Panthers and Mr. Viola and the ownership group that have been very giving to this team and giving all the assets that they can in order to put a winning and a successful team on the ice. So I can't look in the crystal ball. With free agency and with salary caps and sports and that, you never know what can happen. But I do know they love these players. They're a big part of the team, and those players love to be here.
Fans love them too. Yeah.
Did you see the analyst the other night who got the puck in the face?
Oh, that's Robbie Ray. I texted
him. He's a former player, right?
Yeah, I played with him in Buffalo. Yeah. I texted him right away. I said, how long did it take for them to decide they had to replace the puck? And did you see the next game?
Yes,
was brilliant. Was brilliant. But you do that sometimes where you're next to the bench.
Not very often. In Calgary this year, I was there and that. And
have you ever taken a puck to the
yes,
face as a broadcast?
Yes, I've taken one in the arm. But I tell the story. It was my first year when I went back to television after doing radio and that, the lowest rung of show business.
Oh, you ain't lying.
What?
And
the guy guy's doing television now with a suit and a tie. He was yelling, I draw ding-dongs on people for five seasons.
That's it. So it was like the third game, and I'm between the benches. Remember, and Goldie and Denny Potvin were upstairs, and we had a kind of a three-man booth. I'm between the benches. I did it for 5, 6, 7 years. And I just bought, and I don't know why, I bought this light blue suit, and it had kind of like a shine to it or whatever like that. And I was wearing it. It was brand new. And I'm between the benches, and here comes Huberdeau, and I don't remember what player and what team it was, and they collided right in front of me. And Huberdeau just reaches back and does a tomahawk and hits me. I turn, and he hits me right in the back. And these players, with the tape that they use, a lot of the tape, and then they put like a wax on it or whatever, and I looked like I was a skunk. I had this big mark on the back of my...
And that was the end of the suit?
That was the end. I never wore it. I could never wear it again. I wore the slacks a couple of times, but it was like a $1,000 suit, and I wore it once.
I hope he helped.
I got hit in the hand, too, with a stick as well, and that it can get pretty dangerous, and that... The biggest thing when you're between the benches is you've got to have some way to bail out, to go back, because you can go back into that little booth or whatever like that and kind of protect yourself because you've got plexiglass on both sides. But the first 4 or 5 years, there had a there was a board thing that was right behind me, and I'm right up against the boards. I got no bail. There's nothing. All I can do is go straight down like a gopher in a hole, which I did a couple of times. And then you get up, and you've got, you know, you've got cigarette butts and popcorn all over you, and that. But those fun times. But no,
it's so funny because I'm thinking to myself, is the hockey player's mentality? Because I'm like, what an awful assignment. And he's like, fun times, man.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it because I say it all the time, and you remember it because we used to talk, and that you can hear everything. You can hear what's going on the benches. You can hear the players yelling at each other, yelling at the refs, coaches yelling at each other, coaches yelling at their own players, and that. It is surreal, and it really takes you inside the game. Now, there's a wonderful family that have those tickets now, and they're between the benches unless we have a national game. So I don't do any more on home ice. I did one in Calgary this year because I won't go upstairs in their press box. It's scary. It's the oldest rink where the press box in Calgary, when the fans and that, it moves.
Get me
out
of there.
Dangle over the ice too?
Yeah, you're looking straight down. So if you've got greasy glasses on, they can drop straight down onto the ice, and
that steep.
I you know, when Scripps took over the broadcast before the beginning of the year, the gentleman that I was talking to and that to come to an agreement and that kind of stuff, I said, he says, well, is there anything else that, and I said, well, number one, I don't go upstairs in Calgary. And of course it was right over. He's like, what do you mean? I said, no, I don't go upstairs. I said, I won't do the game. You can bring Jovo in or somebody in. I won't do. I'm between the benches, or you can put me in the corner. Or what? I'm not going upstairs. It's the oldest rink in the NHL, and they've made a commitment that they're building a new one or whatever. But I the thing is over the last number of years, I've developed a bit of fear of heights.
Really?
Yeah, and I never was. I will never go on a roller coaster again. I'm not going in a hot air balloon or a helicopter.
I would never do that, yeah.
I can't.
How do you
do that
with flying?
I'm fine because I think it's a trust thing. I am fine with my pilots and that. I don't like bumpy takeoffs and bumpy landings and stuff like normal people or whatever. But once we're in the air, I'm for the most part, I'm fine. Flying is fine, but anything else, nope. Nope. So I've already told my wife the grandkids going to Orlando to see Mickey Mouse. I'm out. I'll stay in the bar.
Moeller, when you guys travel to play the Lightning on the road, mm-hmm. you guys fly, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
28 minutes in the air.
But they're a team. He had a broadcast assignment. They're flying private. It's
so is I on Silver Airways.
He had a broadcast assignment up in Tampa. He flew.
Oh, on Silver Airlines?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He flew from Fort Lauderdale Airport to Tampa on Silver Airlines.
And it was
instead
seamless.
It wasn't seamless. You waited at the airport for 4 hours.
On the way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago in the playoffs, and that we just drove, Goldie and I, and I think Jessica,
guys,
and that we all met and we just drove.
Even when the Dolphins play the Buccaneers, Goldie'll drive with Bo Camper.
Yeah,
and that is
especially in the playoffs. If God forbid we face it'd be fun. The Lightning in the playoffs in the first round that we broadcast, because there's always a day in between, and then you've got a vehicle there. Then we can do stuff or whatever and that, but.
It's
not bad. It's what, a little over four
that's
hours.
That's where my son goes to college. I'd make that drive all the time.
Yeah, yeah. You're just 75 and the whole bit or whatever. Yeah. Well, I live on the beach, so I don't like getting off the island. So
I feel that, man. Randy Moeller, tonight it's Panthers and Lightning here.
Oh, is that
Sunrise,
who we're playing? Oh, okay.
And Scripps is the place you can watch it. It's South Florida's 9 where we live up in, well, where I live up in Palm Beach County. You used to be in Boca as well.
I think we're 39.
Yep.
Or
WSL 39. Yep.
That's it, 39, and they do a great job in that. So, yeah, there could be a little fur flying tonight with these two teams. A lot of emotion. You know, the only thing, you know, Matthew Tkachuk's not going to be in the middle of it. He's out, so.
Jonah Gadjevich going to go at somebody tonight on the retribution last time?
Well, the only thing I know is I'm not going to get punched in the head tonight. No, it's going to be physical. These two teams, Tampa comes in, and they've won 8 in a row, 9 of the last 10 or something like that. So they're flying high. The Panthers are playing well. They've won, 7 of 8 on home ice?
How early would you know when you were playing? How early would you know? Like, would you know now at 10 till 5, yeah, I'm taking this guy out tonight? Would you put it in a calendar if something happened a game 45 days prior and you knew the next, would you look at the schedule and say, okay, we play them in March?
And then it's reinforced probably in warm up, and that
someone reminds you.
There's eyeballs darting back and forth.
Bowler, you miss those days, don't you?
Oh man,
you want to drop the gloves with Appel? He's a big fella.
No, I'm retired.
All right, fair.
I'm retired. And congratulations to Jimmy Crawford on his retirement. What I heard, though, you said you announced your retirement. You know, that's another saying for you got fired, and they did it very nicely.
Yeah, well, I've seen Tree more since he retired than I ever did when he was working.
Well, he's like Steve Goldstein. He likes those paychecks. Even though you retire, you still like to get those paychecks coming in.
Call it whatever you want. Let me know when there's a gig open.
Guys, thanks for having me on. It's going to be a great game tonight in this great homestand and that, and we'll get geared up and see Seth Jones tonight and get him acclimated and for the stretch run here and for an exciting playoff run. Thanks for having me on.
Every now and then I'll text Moeller. I go, hey, why am I watching Goldie announce tennis from the Delray Tennis Center? He's like, you know why.
He's going to tell you to buzz off?
Yeah. I go, you know why.
If the check doesn't go in this way flat, you just turn it up sideways and the check will go in that way. Thanks,
see
guys.
Moeller. Watch Moeller tonight. Scripps Sports, Moeller and Goldie on the call. Panthers and Lightning, and you can hear the game on 790 AM tonight. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up. Goldie is going to join us, by the way, in the 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
North Right Clamp, South Fox H Top Pass 38 Top Gumby XP Sweat.
Hawk and Crowder.